I'm going to ask you a question, and all I want you to do, all I want you to do. Number one, I don't want you to kill the messenger this morning. I'm only bringing a message. Let me tell you this, I got hit with the message. So I'm only bringing a message. I got hit with this question. I'm going to throw the question out to those of you who I love the most. If you're here today, I love you the most. You're part of my family. And so when I think about my family, I think about this. You know, when the Lord shows me something, I want to take care of my family. I want to show them the things that the Lord has shown me. So that's all I'm doing this morning. So if you're visiting with us, you can ignore me. But if you're part of the Key Life family this morning, please pay attention. The Bible says this, 1 John. John's writing to the church, chapter 5. He's writing to the church. In fact, he's closing a letter to the church, and he's going to give them a warning. And it's a warning that he's giving to the New Testament church. It's a warning that we need to hear today because it's urgent. And because Satan for thousands of years now has been crafty enough to disguise what we're going to talk about into many things that we don't consider them to be idols. John is going to say this. Chapter 5, I'm going to look at two verses and then we're going to talk about this. I'm going to ask a question. We're going to answer the question together. He says, "We know also that the Son of God has come and has given understanding." How many of you are thankful for the understanding and truth that the Son of God has given to us through His Spirit? That's truth. Don't ever forget that. Everything else is a lie. "So that we may know Him who is," say it with me, "true. And we are in Him who is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." And then it seems as if he just throws this in here. What he's saying is, here's true in verse 20. Then he says, be careful not to get caught up in the lies. He is true, he is true, he is true. And then he says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Dear children, keep yourself from idols. It's not just thrown in there. It's not by accident. He said, Jesus is true. He's the way to the true God. He's given us true understanding. He is true and eternal life. Talks about then keeping yourselves from idols. Now let me just say this. I know in the country that we live in, there are no idols. There are no idols that we consider idols. Let's just all agree on that. Can we all agree? But let's get down to it. If the enemy has always hidden himself behind idols, how many of you know he is alive and well? And he is still hiding himself behind idols, wouldn't you say? So I want to look at this today. Let's talk. Then we're going to ask questions. An idol, let's define that for us today. And I'm going to ask you everything that I talk about. Do you agree? Do you agree? Watch this. Number one, an idol is something you value more than the true God and His kingdom. Would you say that would be a good characteristic of an idol? When we look in the Old Testament and we see the idols that Israel chased after, they ran after, these were idols that the enemy used to lure them away from the one, y'all say it with me, true God. How many of you say something we value more than God and His kingdom is an idol? Everybody who agrees with that, go like this. Everybody who disagrees with that, stand up so I can laugh at you. Because we know that. We know that. It's not something that we really have to go into a lot of research about. If there is one true God and there is something else that we value more than that one true God, that thing becomes God to us. Therefore, making it an idol. I don't care if it's your hobby, your addiction, your sin, what we're going to talk about in a little while. Would you all agree something you value more than God and His kingdom is an idol? Number two, something you commune with more than God. Would that be an idol? Do you know in Old Testament times and in pagan cultures, they would commune with these false idols. They would make these bronze and gold and silver statues, and they would actually pray to these inanimate objects who could do nothing and who were powerless, and they commune with them. They did rituals, they did sacrifices, they did all kinds of worship, and they were communing with these false gods. And you say, well, how can they commune with them if they're false? Let me tell you something, Satan is not false. Are you listening? Satan is not false. And we already said he always hides behind an idol. And he makes this idol seem healthy. He even makes this idol seem worshipful. And he communes with people and they think, well, this must be real because I'm getting some feedback here. I'm feeling something. That's why we as Christians don't go on our feelings. That's why God raised us up to be a people of faith. And then he gives us the faith to believe and he gives us the faith to sustain us in our walk with him each and every single day. We don't have to see to believe. All God's people say amen. We don't have to see to believe. But you know what? Satan, he causes these people to think they have to see something. So they have to see it so that they can commune with this thing. How many of you would say? Would you agree? Y'all can tell what I'm doing already. I'm putting this on y'all. How many of you would say, I agree that an idol is something that I would commune with more than God? Look, I already sense your nervousness. Number three, how about something you trust more than God? Something that you trust more than God. It's something that you get your answers from. Something that you would consult in times of trouble. Something that you would run to find security or to find confidence, or something that you would run to find information or knowledge. How many of you would say, that would definitely be an idol if it wasn't God, because He is the God of all wisdom and knowledge, and if I ran to anything else, that would become an idol. Hello? Y'all stay with me. Getting scary, I know. So you would already say you would agree with me, something you value more than God in His kingdom is an idol. Something you commune with more than God is an idol. Something you trust more than God, y'all stay with me, idol. How about this? Something other than God's will that consumes most of your time. Something other than God's will that consumes most of your time. Or if you've realized already, eventually it consumes all of your time. Because that's what an idol likes to do. An idol likes to suck you in and just take a little of your time. Just as you dabble with this on the side, and before you know it, you spent hours and even days entertaining this idol. Right. So would we agree that it's something other than God's will that consumes most of your time? How about this? Something that has the potential to lead you away from God and into sin. How many of you say that's what an idol is? Did you know this? Eventually what the idols did in the Old Testament, they led the people into immorality. They led them into sexual immorality. They led them into child sacrifice. They led them into all kinds of evil things. How many would say, yeah, that's historical. We know that happened. And how many of you say those things are sinful in the eyes of God? But wait a second, it just started as an innocent thing. And the next thing you know, this little innocent thing that I didn't really want to get caught up in, now I'm caught up in this thing, and it's led me into immorality. It's led me into sin. How many of you say an idol has the ability to lead you into sin? And I promise you this, it eventually will. So would you all agree with those statements? Something you value more than God and His kingdom, something you commune with more than God, something you trust more than God, something other than God's will that consumes most of your time, and something that has the potential to lead you away from God and into sin. Would you all say that's characteristics of an idol? All right. I want to share with you some recent experiences that I've had. Some of you know this. Sometimes I do a little law enforcement on the side as a hobby. I don't know what else to call it. It's not a job, because jobs you get paid for. But you know what we get to see? We get to see cars crash on the side of the road because they have a little handheld device in their hand while they're driving. We get to see people die because I promise you, as an idol leads you into sin, sin always leads you into death. We get to see people distracted. Not only that, because that makes it easy if I just look at it from a law enforcement standpoint. What about from a pastor's standpoint? You know what I'm saying? From a pastor's standpoint, people don't know how to communicate with other people anymore. Because of certain handheld device. I'm going to borrow this thing right here. Because you're not going to be playing video games right now. And if your girlfriend calls, I'll talk to her. How about this? Recently at my house, Reverend Hall's house. Please don't ever call me Reverend Hall. I prefer to be called Bishop. Recently at Reverend Hall's house. Here, listen to this. Something that I have always done. I don't care if they scratched their knee, if they bumped their head, if they had a sniffle. When my kids came to me and they had a need, the first thing we did, let's pray. Let's pray and let's take this to God. Before we do anything else, we're going to pray because we're not going to trust in anything else But let's trust in God. Listen, recently, and this is how this all came about. Recently, she doesn't even know this yet. She's going to say, man, Dad, you're crazy. Recently, my daughter had a sports injury. She didn't know what it was. She came to me. You know what I did? I went to this. I innocently went to this. Right, because I said it's always innocent, isn't it? And I'm pretty sure that her injured collarbone ended up in brain damage after I looked at everything on MD, WebMD. Man, I diagnosed her with everything. And you know what it did? It caused a bunch of false fear and all these things, and she was just hurt. You know what I should have done like I always had done in the past? I should have just grabbed her close to me, put my arm around her, and said, you know what, baby, I know it hurts. But before we do anything, let's pray about this. Here's what happened. At 2 o'clock in the morning, y'all ever had 2 o'clock in the morning prayer meetings with God where He just woke you straight up in bed? 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. Couldn't go back to sleep. And it was one of those couldn't go back to sleep where I knew it wasn't me keeping me up or anything I had on mine. Because I promise you, if anybody knows me, if I stop, I go to sleep. If you ever invite me over to your house, we're eating dinner. If it gets boring, I'm going to sleep. Nothing against you. I just stop. Here's the thing. I stop. I go to sleep. Here it is. And I don't ever wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning unless something is about to get caught or die. So the thing is, I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning, and I knew this. I knew I didn't just wake up. That the Holy Spirit of God woke me up. He challenged me with something. Kirk, are you going to be a part of this generation that goes to the phone instead of the throne? Are you going to be a part of this generation that goes to their phone instead of going to the throne? Are you going to be a part of this generation who has this idol in your hand? We've all seen it. Man, the younger generation that's coming, they don't even know how to talk to people because they're so wrapped up in this thing. Listen, I'm telling you today, I'm not coming here to make a statement and tell you that your cell phone is an idol. But I promise you this, we're going to look at some things today, and I want to reveal some information on you. And by your own admission here today, you're going to decide if what we talked about, is it something that I value more than God? Is it something that I commune with more than God? Is it something that I trust more than God? Is it something other than God's will that consumes me, i.e. social media? Is it something that has the potential to lead me away from God and into sin? We're going to answer those questions, and we're going to decide for ourselves. Listen, I'm not going to tell you, but I had to do this. I had to get on my face that night, and I had to say, God, forgive me that I would ever trust in anything for you, for any kind of information in regard to anything that applies to my life. Forgive me, Father, because I have an idol in my life. You say, Kirk, you're too hard on yourself. That's real, folks, and it starts really, really small. And here's the thing I want to ask you to challenge yourself. Do you have an idol in your hand? Are you touching this thing? Is it in your hand? Is this thing consuming you? We'll talk about it. You decide. So we got to ask ourselves in regard to this, or it could be a mouse at your desk, right? Because either way, you can access the idol that Satan is now hiding himself behind in the country that we live in. He's been doing it for thousands of years and he's not changed. If you're not careful, I promise you, this thing is going to steal every bit of joy that you have. This thing is going to eventually lead you into sin, and sin will eventually take its toll and lead you into death. Let's look at this. Let's ask ourselves about these handheld devices that we have. Watch this. Do I value this more than God and His kingdom? Do I value this more than God and His kingdom? Let me tell you what society says. The average household, pay attention, average household, $100 to $200 per month to have this idol in your hand. I'll tell you this, I'm above average. $100 to $200 per month to have this idol in your hand. Let me help you. Less than 10% of the population of churches keep them going financially. Got real quiet. What do you value the most? You're spending $200 a month $200 a month. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you say, well, is he going to harp on giving? I'm not going to harp on giving. I'm just asking you a question. Is your cell phone bill more than you trust God with your finances? Because I promise you this, there's a greater return when we trust God. He promises to open up the windows of heaven and to pour out blessings on our lives. And you settle for just paying a cell phone bill? So let's ask that question. Do I value it more than I value God and His kingdom? How much do we give to God's work each month? Not just here at Key Life. How much do we give to God's work around this world? What do I value most? You value this most? I'd be fine with me at this point if I just go back to a Samsung X427 flip phone. That T8 text or what it was. T9. What do you value? Because we all said that if we value it more than God, y'all say it with me, it's an idol. So if we value it more than God, it's an idol. So you ask yourself, do I value my cell phone more than God? You know what I learned about teenagers? Once they get a phone, go ahead and put your belt up if you're into whipping them with a belt and spanking their rear. Go ahead and put that up. You want to hurt them? Give me the phone. No, Dad! Please, not the phone! I tell you, I share my recent experiences. You want to hear something disturbing? Disturbing! Took my daughter's phone. I won't tell you why, because she's past it. She's matured beyond it. She no longer backtalks her mother, ever. Since this day. But she backtalked her mom. I happened to hear it, and man, that's a no-no. It's my wife. You don't talk to her like, that's your mama. You respect her. Give me that phone. No, not the phone. My daughter came into my room. Here's what she did. She begged me. Dad, how long? I don't know. No, Dad, for real. It's important. My Snapchat streaks will end. What do you value most? My daughter said this to me. Hey, don't look at me like I'm getting on to my daughter. This is the truth. I don't want my daughter to fall into idol worship like all the other kids around this world. Here's the thing. She said, Daddy, please, will you just spank me with your belt? I said, this could be fun. How many swats with my belt? 20. I was like, you'll take 20? I said, as hard as I can hit you with my leather belt, you would take 20 of those instead of lose your cell phone for a week? 20 whippings with a belt. Yes, Dad, will you please? She was laying across my bed. Please, Dad. Guess what I did? You know what I did. Nah. Listen, folks, we laugh. It's funny. It's disturbing. It's disturbing. So what do you value most? We said if we value this thing more than we value... Sorry, I cracked your screen. But if we say that we value this thing... Just kidding. If we value this thing more than we value God, it's an idol. Didn't we agree? Do you still agree? He said to keep yourself from idols. Listen, church, this is prophetic. Please pay attention to it. It's something we need to hear. We have to be different than the world. There are people walking past you every single day who need Christ, and you have your head stuck in a phone. Do you value that lost co-worker's eternity more than you value their business on social media? Do you value their eternity more than you value seeing them each and every day? When you walk past them and see them out of the corner of your eye, and they walk past you and they do the same. You said it, I didn't say it. You said if it in any way, shape, or form has more value than God, it's an idol. Number two, do you commune with it more than with God? I'm going to let that sink in for just a second. Do you commune with this more than you commune with God? You know what I'm talking about, those hours that just went by and you don't know where they went, but you know everybody's business. Or you got educated about something, right? I love when people come to me, you know, I liked your sermon, but I was reading something online. Stop reading online stuff. You can pick out anything you want to hear. Take the Word of God and see what the truth is. But you got to ask yourself this question. Do I commune with this thing more than God? Here's the statistics. Y'all watch this. This blew me away. Can I give you some stats? Any stat people here today? You're a sports guy and you know everybody's batting average every single year and all that. Watch this stat. This is crazy. You ready? Every second. Every second. On average, 6,000 tweets are tweeted on Twitter. 6,000 every second. Man, I would to God that we would see a time where the people in America would pray 6,000 times every second. 6,000 tweets every second. Let me give you the math for that because I'm not real smart, so I had to break it down for me. Which corresponds to over 350,000 tweets per minute, 500 million tweets per day, and around 200 billion tweets per year. Man, if the people of God would get on their face instead of on their Twitter and cry out to God for revival and pray for that lost person who's in that cubicle next to them, or that person that you know who's your fishing buddy or your hunting buddy or your golfing buddy or your husband who's lost or your wife who's lost, if we would say, you know what? We need to spend that same time not here, but here. What would happen? Listen, I promise you this before you get all mad at me. I got challenged with the same thing and I don't even have a tweeter. Don't even want one. But I got challenged with the same thing. Do you commune with this more than you commune with God? I told you my challenge. Are you going to get on your phone or are you going to come to the throne? You're going to get on the phone or are you going to get on your face? My prayer. My worship. Praise to Him. When I ought to be praying, when I ought to be worshiping, when I ought to be praising Him, am I doing this? Am I doing this? You all said it. I didn't say it. You agreed. If it causes you to commune with this more than you commune with God, you said it was an idol. We all agreed. Which do you commune with? Just ask yourself that question. Which do you commune with? Are you at the throne? Are you on the phone? Which one? You have to answer that for you. I said, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to ask you. Which one? Because you said, if I commune with it more than God, it's an idol. That could be this pen, couldn't it? If I commune with this pen more than... No, I don't commune with pens! But we do commune with these, don't we? That's fellowship. We fellowship with this a lot. Do you know there's marriages that fall apart all the time? I get to see it from the other side of the desk because he's stuck here and she's stuck there and they're not communicating with each other about what God's doing in their life or praying for their children, praying for their home, praying for their church, whatever else they may be doing that would bring glory to God. No, they're over here and they're chasing all those social media accounts to find out all the goods on everybody so they can feel better about their messed up life. And all that stuff's not true, people. Everybody's on a vacation. Some tropical destination. While I'm working, all my friends are catching big fish. No, they're not. Those pictures are 15 years old. I know all of them. They can't fish. Their buddy caught it and let them take a picture of it. Do you commune more with this than you commune with your Heavenly Father? Number three. Do you trust the information on this device more than you trust God? Before you answer that, when you need the answer to a question, do you Google it? Or do you open up the Word of God and say, God, you show me the answer to this question? Do you get on your face and say, Holy Spirit of God who lives in me, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord who knows all, sees all, already known all, already has seen all. God, can you show me what I need to do? Can you show me the direction that I need to go in my life? Can you give me the answers that I need? I would to God that God's people would stop consulting this and start consulting His Father. So ask yourself that question. When I need an answer to something, do I go to this? Now, don't do the cop-out thing. Well, yeah, sometimes I go to my Bible app. That's great. But I'll say this, if I go to Google for information, the before I go to the inspired, inerrant Word of God, that it's truth, I set myself up for the danger of falling into the hands of an idol. Because before you know it, I can put my trust in the information that I find. Because everything on the internet is true, right? So do you trust the information on this device more than you trust God and His Word? Do you base what you believe on what you find on this? Can I help all of you? Stop listening to YouTube preachers. Stop. You will be one of those people that James talks about who's tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. You don't know those guys. You don't really know what they believe. You take one sermon, you like it, then you find the next guy you like, you take his sermon, you mix them together, and before you know it, you got bad doctrine. The Word of God and the truth from the Word of God. Please pay attention to me, child of God. It is all we need. It's all we need. If that is not enough for you, you better search your heart this morning. Because as children of God, we have been held to a higher standard. We have a new information book. That not only can we find information on these pages, the Word of God confirms that He has written that on our heart. That means internally, I have access to the mind of Christ, to the will of God, to the plan of God, to the power of God, to the wisdom and the knowledge of God, my Creator. Why would I settle for the internet that is full of a bunch of lies? Trust the information that you receive on this more than you trust your God and Father. Where do you go for advice? Where do you go for advice? I don't know if I look pretty in this. Post my picture on Facebook and I'll see what my friends say. Your friends are liars. All of them. Please understand. If there has ever been a man with a heartbeat, he will tell you a lie. If there's ever been a woman with a heartbeat, she will tell you a lie. They're full of flattery. They're full of lies. So when you post that on there to get attention because you're so insecure, because you won't let your hope and your faith reside in Christ and Christ alone, listen, you have created for yourself an idol that boosts your self-esteem. And you may fool everyone else, but you're not fooling me and you're not fooling God. So where do you go when you need advice? You know what? I failed many a times. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that God's a God who gets my attention and says, Kirk Hall, I'm not going to let you fall into the trap of getting advice and suggestions from things that don't matter and that are not true. Kirk Hall, I am going to call you back to going to the Word of truth for every answer that you ever need. I pray that He would do the same for you. Do you trust the information on this device more than you trust God? Well, I feel like God's leading me to do something. So I'm going to tweet and get the opinions of everyone else on what I should do. I think God is leading me to go on a mission trip to South America. But I'm not sure. Guys, let me tell you something. If He's leading you to go on a trip to South America, the Holy Spirit is going to make you sure. Well, I want to see what everyone else thinks. There are people who are not seeking God's will who will tell you, do not go to South America. And if enough of them tell you that, you're going to be disobedient and an idol has led you away from the will of God. You think about it. I'm just asking questions. Do you trust the information on this device more than you trust God and His Word? Are you consumed by it? Now, that's worship. Did you know that? Whatever consumes us, that's what we worship. Are you consumed by it? Even when you don't want to? Even when you don't want to be consumed, you tell yourself every day, man, I'm about to give up my Facebook account. You say, well, Kirk, you sure have been mentioning Facebook a lot from the pulpit lately. Hey, it's been inside of me and God has been stirring this up because I have seen what it is causing in the lives of so-called believers who are falling into idolatry. And I say this to you, I love you enough to say, don't fall into that trap. But you ask yourself that question. Am I consumed by it? Do I spend hours hours getting caught up in all this stuff. And before you know it, I said, man, I've just wasted half a day. And I could have been doing something with my hands, like the Bible wants us to do, productive, that would bring God glory. You ask yourself that question. Anybody still here? You all mad at me? I told you, don't kill the messenger. Hey, I got to hear for myself. I should have called all of them and woke you up at 2 o'clock in the morning to see how you like it. Are you consumed by it? Does it control you? Does it control your time? Does it control your emotions? You ever see something on that social media site got you mad for the whole day? Is anybody here this morning? Oh, yeah, you must be talking to someone else, Pastor. Okay, I'm talking to whichever one of you here today other than me who needs to hear this. It dictated your whole day, your whole week, your whole month. It sets you back years in the joy that Jesus Christ wants you to walk in. If somebody said something ugly, you just know for sure they meant it toward you. Look, be thankful they were taking it easy on someone else. They gave someone else a break to talk about you. Does it demand your attention? Does it? Does it distract your life? Does it distract your life? Because we said if we're consumed by it, it's an idol. And if it distracts our life from doing the things that God has left us here to do, i.e. worshiping Him, communing with Him, fellowshipping with other believers, fellowshipping with your family. Oh, man. I was in a restaurant the other day. Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes I want to get in the flesh. So do you. Sometimes I get mad at some things, and they're righteous things. I promise you. How many of you know Jesus flipped the whole table over and ran some folks out of a place? His anger was righteous. I wasn't going to flip the guy's table over, but I wanted to. I knew I would get in big trouble for that. I saw his dad. It was so sad. His mom. Dad's on his phone. They're eating at a restaurant. Dad's on his phone. Mom's on her phone. They're not talking to each other at all. Until mom started talking and dad pretended like he was listening while he was still on the phone. But what was even more disturbing than that was over away from them at another table. It was about a 6-year-old little boy. That dad's son. On his phone. And the little boy would even sometimes try to put down the phone and share with his dad what was going on his phone, which is totally ridiculous. I would just say, put down the phone, boy, get a fishing pole, let's go. Do something productive here. We at least put food on the table. Here's the thing. No, what happened was that the little boy would say, hey, dad, hey, be quiet. Dad was consumed. Now, whatever it is. And listen, before you start making excuses for him, it doesn't matter. At that point, daddies, let me tell you something. If it is your job, if it is your career, if it is your desire to make more money and to retire with a big fat bank account, let me say something. Do not forfeit that for your children. So I don't care if he was checking his emails at work. He was checking those emails because he is living the life and he is climbing the corporate ladder. And guess what? Little Johnny is going to spend an eternity in hell because his father did not take the time, much less to share the gospel with him. He didn't take the time to show him how a father loves a child. Here's how a father loves a child. Son, sorry if that broke your phone. Son, what do you need? Daddy is here for you. I'm always here for you. I'm willing to drop everything, cancel every appointment, so that I can put you as my family in a place of importance in my life, second only to God. It was heartbreaking. I wanted to walk over there, man. I'm going to tell you, I wanted to walk over there. I wanted to slap him, but it wasn't mean slap. It was just get his attention slap. Y'all know what I'm talking about. How many of you seen Tombstone? When Wyatt Earp slaps a guy, says, you're going to do something, you're just going to stand there and bleed. I want to go up and I want to go, bam! Hey, your son, he's never going to respect you. He's never going to love you. He's never going to want to be around you. He's never going to want to be like you because you don't have time for him. Because you're consumed with an idol. I know that. I couldn't say that to him. But all you people who've been placed under my care through the Holy Spirit, through God's sovereign plan, I can say it to you. I can't shake you up and get your attention because we need God to get our attention. I didn't ask for this job. He gave it to me. I'm going to do it with every ounce of energy I have till He calls me home. Are you consumed by this? Last, and I'm done. I know. Chicken's getting cold. Last, and I'm done. We said this. We said it can be an idol if it's something we value more than God. Something we commune with more than God. Something we trust more than God. Something other than God's will that consumes most of our time. And then the last one, pay attention to this one. Something that has the potential to lead you away from God and into sin. I'll make this fast for you. I'm going to ask the question, does it lead us or have the potential to lead us into sin? Here's a few we can mention. How about lust? Do you know how quickly pornography was advanced when people can just carry it around in their hand now? Hello? How about lust? How about this? How about not just lust? How about covetousness? When someone does post their nice new vehicle or their nice new house, that must be nice. Somebody get some good things in this life. Tell you something, if you're here right now and you have breath in your lungs, you're in this nice air-conditioned building with padded seats, you have it better than 85% of the rest of the world. You have no reason to complain. You have no reason to gripe. You have no reason to covet what your neighbor has. What about that? Covetousness. Well, she put on there, she got a new house. Because I know what ladies covet. Right? Oh, in her house, it looked like a. She had everything Kirkland in her house. I'm like, I didn't see a fishing pole anywhere. But we do the same thing with social media and these little devices, don't we? Somebody else is on vacation. Must be nice. You know what we ought to do? We ought to rejoice when we see somebody else on vacation. Say, thank you, God, that they get a break. Because I know how valuable breaks are. And when I get to go away like that, man, it's refreshing. Thank you, Lord, that they're being refreshed. I pray that you would use this time as this couple's off on this Jamaican vacation that I covet so much. I pray that somehow in that, Lord, you would do a work in their marriage and in their life. The end. Amen. I promise if you approach it like that, you're not going to have time to covet. How about neglect of godly wisdom, or godly counsel? We've already talked about that. You go to this instead of going to the Word. Instead of acquiring counsel from someone who's godly, who you know has through the years and the test of time proven that they know about God, His truth, and the wisdom thereof. How about neglect of personal prayer? This thing ever leads you to neglect personal prayer? Man, forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father. Listen, right, I don't have a problem, right? Because I just don't have a problem with this. Everybody else does. No, I didn't realize how big my problem, even though my problem is small, it's not in comparison to some of you folks. Here's the thing, and some other people, man, I see people who I don't know how they don't get hit by cars. Walk out in parking lots like this. I've stopped and told young ladies by themselves, listen, young lady, go to your car, lock yourself in the car, and then look at your phone. Because there are bad people in this world, and you're distracted right now.
Yes, sir.
Well, stupid old man, what does he know? Neglect of personal prayer. Wouldn't we probably qualify that as missing the mark? Shouldn't we be on our face praying? Shouldn't we, as Scripture says, pray without ceasing? Shouldn't this be something in the forefront of our mind all the time? Fellowshipping with God, depending on God for everything? How about this? Gossip. Gossip on here. It's easy to gossip on here. Even cowards gossip on here, don't they? Listen, Christian, don't hide behind a screen. If you got to say something to somebody, be man or woman enough to go say it to that person. Everybody understand? Now, with that, you understand there's going to come consequences when you do that. You're big enough to do that. There's going to be consequences. But, hey, don't hide behind this. Go talk to them. Go talk to them. Gossip. How about slander? Y'all know the difference between gossip and slander, don't you? I've told some of you before. I'll tell you again. Gossip is not necessarily true when you say it. Slander is when you know it's true and you feel good about it because you got some dirt on somebody and you run them through the mud. That's slander. Let me say this, even though it's true, maybe you Christians ought to rethink slandering someone on your social media account. I told you. You even agreed. Idols lead us or potentially can lead us into sin. We've already seen. How many would agree that this idol could lead us into lust, covetousness, neglect of godly wisdom, neglect of personal prayer, gossip, slander? How about this? Adultery. Do you know how many people who have fallen into adulterous relationships because it was easy? Because they could just carry it around with them. And before you know it, every true blessing that God had given them is gone. It's stolen from them. They forfeited it because they got on this thing and that idol led them into that before they knew it. I was just an old friend from high school. There's nothing to it. We met up at the high school reunion and we became friends on Facebook, and I've heard it over and over and over and over and over again. Is it just really, really quiet here today, or are we really, really convicted? Adultery, fornication, sexual immorality of all kinds. Guess what? You can get on here and you can dial up someone to do whatever it is you want them to do with or for you. Will an idol lead you into sin or have the potential to lead you in sin? Think I'm lying? Can I be honest with you? I worked on a tag team. We were doing some police stuff. And what they do is they actually target online predators. Target online predators. You know how they target online predators? With these. You know what they do? They pretend to be 14, 13 or 14-year-old little boys or little girls. This is what the police department does, the police that we work with in the district attorney's office. And they do this because they know that there are people who've fallen into following this idol, into all kinds of sexual morality. And I'm thankful for this. They're putting them in jail. And here's the thing. You know what? They use these. They use these. They put an ad on Craigslist, and some pervert gets on Craigslist and he finds whatever it is that he wants. Whatever little kid that he wants. And I'm not going to give you any more details than that. Because you'll get fired up, man. Is this an idol? Does it have the potential to lead us into sin? Does it have the potential to lead us into destruction? How about liberalism? Man, do the liberals have a voice on this? Huh? Does it lead us into liberalism? Discontentment. You see what everybody else has and you don't have enough. Can I tell you what Paul said? He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. That the thing that you need to worry about most is your relationship to God, and be content in that. Whatever it is that you have, wherever He has you, He says, that is great gain. How about distraction from God's will? How about depression? How about depression? You look at this and it makes you depressed. Because the enemy likes to show you how horrible your life is and how great everybody else's life is. So when you get depressed, what you do, you turn to whatever addiction it is that helps you or makes you think that you're going to somehow cure your depression. And before you know it, you're wrapped up in this thing so tight you don't feel like you can even get free. Let me tell you this. That is a lie hatched straight from hell. If you're a believer here today, let me tell you something. The joy of the Lord lives in you. Let that be your strength. Stop letting this thing pull you into constant depression. This is make-believe. What did we read in verse 20? True, true, true. Jesus Christ is true. The Father is true. The gospel message is true. Everything else has the potential, according to verse 21, to make itself into an idol, to lead you astray. I told you I was going to ask you a question. Here it is. I know I've asked lots of questions. I just worked it into the final question. Do you have an idol in your hand? Like I said, maybe it's the mouse, or maybe your fancy has a touchscreen. But do you have an idol in your hand? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes right now, and I want you to ask yourself that question. Not Kirk asking that question, you, based on the clues that we looked at. Does this thing cause me to value it more than I value God and His kingdom? Do I spend more time on this than I do praying, fellowshipping with God, worshiping God, praising God? Do you trust the information in here more than you trust the information in God? Let me give you a quick help with that. If you spend more time in this than you do in this, the answer is you trust this more. Are you consumed by this thing? Or is this thing leading you into sin? Here's the thing, you know what we got to do? We can't just leave there, can we? What do I do, Kurt? I'm not going to ask you to answer that out loud. I'll be brave enough and say, man, there are times where this thing has become an idol in my life. And Lord, I don't want this in my life any longer. What do I do? Because you know what? We're going to all go through, we're going to process this in our mind. But I have to have it from a job, and we're in such a time where we have to communicate all the time, and I know all the excuses. What do I do? Number one, if this has become an idol in your hand, number one, watch this. Confess it. Get honest with God about what it is. And repent of it this morning. Step number one, child of God, listen to me. Get on your face. You can bring this to the altar with you. You can lay it down on the altar and say, God, this thing has become an idol in my life. Listen, I promise you, God can use this for good things, and He does. But this thing can become a bad thing. It can become an idol in your hand before you know it. The first thing you need to do is get honest. Has it become an idol? We've seen what makes it an idol. You ask yourself that. Confess it. Repent of it this morning. Second thing, rely on the Holy Spirit to give you the discipline you need to use this only when necessary and when it can bring glory and honor to God. How many of you understand the Holy Spirit lives in us to discipline us? To teach us how to walk as Jesus walked. Here's what we need to pray after we confess and we say, Lord, this thing has become an idol. God, through your Spirit, give me wisdom and give me discipline so that I only use this for profitable things that somehow bring you glory. That I only use this to communicate with my family. That I only use this to communicate with my job. That I only use this to bring you glory, to study your word. Would you pray that today? Would you say that to him? Because if you want to get set free from this idol, that's what you'll say. You'll say, first, I confess, I repent of it, God. It is what your word says it is. It is an idol. Lord, I don't want this thing to control me any longer. And here's the thing. If you can't do that, here's step number three. It's going to hurt. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. You say, but man, we live in 2017. I know for thousands of years we did without these things. I am not telling you to get rid of your cell phone. Did everybody hear that? I said if you can't trust the Holy Spirit to give you enough discipline to only use it in a responsible way that brings glory to God and does not become an idol, get rid of it. You say, well, who do you think you are? I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said. Can we do that? Because this didn't come from me, I promise. Look at Matthew chapter 5. I'm done, I promise. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 30. How many of you have a red letter edition? Raise it up high. Verse 30, is it red? I know the answer to this question. It is rhetorical. Is it red? That means who's speaking here? How many of you are followers of Jesus? If you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to pay attention to what Jesus says. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Did we just say idols? Idols in our hands. If we can't trust the Holy Spirit to discipline us and we won't take that step, Jesus says this, throw it away. Get rid of it. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. That's Jesus talking. That's Jesus talking to a bunch of people who understood what it means to worship idols, to follow religions that weren't really God at all, but were just man-made rules. And He's bringing the news to them. If you can't master this, cut it off. Cut it off. I don't know where you are in this, but let me say this. Idols are not limited to just cell phones and your mouse and your computer. There are all kinds of idols. But let me tell you, I would say this, and I would say this with full confidence. This is the number one idol that is bringing us down in the church today. And I do not apologize for making that known to the people who God has entrusted me with. So I would say this to you. Is this an idol in your hand? Do you have an idol in your hand? Would you stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today. And I want to talk to you believers first. I want to just let you know this. The altar is open. You don't have to wait on me. This isn't about me anyway. But I want to talk to the believers first. Is there an idol in your hand? If there's an idol in your hand, I've already showed you what you need to do. Confess it. You confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Confess the idol in your life. Then ask the Holy Spirit to give you the discipline that you need to use this in a manner that is productive and only brings glory to God. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, I've tried that. I failed miserably, Kurt. I would encourage you to do this. You go to your cell phone office. I'm sure they're probably open on Sundays, isn't everybody now? Go to your cell phone place. Find out what you need to do about it. How do I get rid of this? How do I get rid of this thing? What do I need to do to get out of this contract? Can I get out of the contract? Listen, go down to the little cricket place and get you a little flip phone if you can't handle another type of phone. But allow the Holy Spirit to change you this morning. It's an epidemic in our country. Unfortunately, it's an epidemic in the churches. And I don't apologize for being bold enough, because this boldness came as God broke me over the same exact thing in my life, I assure you. I don't apologize for making this clear to God's people here today. Would you be obedient to what the Holy Spirit moves you to do today? If you're here, you say, Kirk, I know this. I know beyond a shadow of doubt. For weeks I have listened to the gospel be presented, and I know that I'm not truly a believer here today. I need to confess my sin, and I need to repent. I need to ask Jesus Christ to save me. I need to ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And I feel Him in my heart right now telling me that I need to do that. I'm willing to surrender to Him. Let me say this. You'll never have victory over any idol in your life until Jesus Christ is the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords personally for you. But you're here. You say, Kirk, I need Jesus to save me. I feel Him telling me in my heart that I need Him, and I'm willing to surrender my life to Him. Would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. I need Jesus to save me, to forgive me of all my sins. I need Him to come into my life, to make me new, to wash me clean. Anyone like that here today? Listen, I understand. This was a message to the church. We're prone to fall into idolatry just like everyone else. I pray if that's where you are today, you would utilize this altar, that you would dare to see, humble yourself before God. Make things right. Ask Him to change you for His glory forever.
Give us clean hands, give us pure.